In the book of 1 John, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 11. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify the Father's, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his neighbor, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you now for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your divine presence. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and the congregation. Thank you, our Father, for Brother Brad, for his family. Lord, I want to thank you for how you touch us on him. God, you blessed him, you leading him, direct him in the music, in the youth ministry, and Lord, in the preaching ministry, God, you've allowed him to do. And God, I thank you for him. God, put a hedge around him, keep him safe, and use him. Thank you, our Father, for all these friends here gathered today. And thank you for Brother Pete. God, I'm glad for the touch of God on him this morning. Lord, for blessing Miss Panza so she could be here. Lord, for others in our church family who've been out now here, thank you for that. For our friends and guests who've come and all of our friends in the radio and the internet, Lord, God, we're thankful. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, oh, God, would touch me and feel me. Give me a touch. And God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you'd speak to me and through me. Our Father, what a great thing this morning that God is love. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God will breathe on me and quicken me. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to pray for a trucker I talked to a good long time this morning. His first name is Jimmy, and he is in Pennsylvania. But God's burdened his heart. There's a truck stop. There's a ministry there. There's a chapel ministry in Pennsylvania. I forget the name of the place now. But he's gone there to reopen that chapel. He's a full-time trucker. Of course, he drives Monday through Thursday. And so he's going to be doing that truck stop ministry there in Pennsylvania. And you pray for him. I promised him that we would. But he and I talked together about how God loved us when we wasn't very lovable. You know, when we get to thinking about it, last week when we were over in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Brother Leroy Jones, y'all have never met Brother Leroy. Leroy's 75 years old, loves the Lord. His wife, Kim, they love the Lord. For 38 years, he's labored in that ministry. There was a time some several years ago when God opened the door for him, and he worked with another fellow. And they established truck stops. God burdened his heart to try to get some other ones going. And he established about 40 truck stops in about 3.5 years, truck stop ministries and chapel services. Got local churches, local people to go out and to do that. But I got thinking, I spent some time with Brother Leroy and watched him as he loved those truckers. He'd go out there and stay hour after hour at that chapel. Sometimes truckers come in, sometimes they don't. Sometimes he'll talk to them at the terminal, sometime in the restaurant or somewhere. But he's there, and he's in an obscure place where no recognition, name not up in lights. People don't know him. You don't know him, and all such as that. And yet God's used him to touch thousands upon thousands of lives, and he labors there, and on over all these years. And I get to wondering, do I love the Lord as much as Leroy Jones loves the Lord? I get to thinking about some of our Filipino pastor friends who come by, and I've had the privilege of going over there, and I watch them as they give their life day in and day out and all they do and how they love the Lord. And I wonder, do I love the Lord as much as they love the Lord? I wonder, do you love the Lord? And I know, you know, when I think about myself, I wonder how the Lord could love me. Now, some of you, I know how the Lord could love you, but to think that He loves me. My dear friend, listen, when you get to thinking about God's love for us, it's beyond our comprehension. We can't imagine what it's like. The Bible said in the last days, Matthew 24, the love of many shall wax cold because of iniquity. The love of many will wax cold. In the last days, I preached a series here some time ago. We talked about the love of God. I love the Lord because. But my dear friend, I'm telling you right now, the motivating factor for anything we do for God, for being faithful, for serving Him and witnessing to other people, is that we love the Lord. Now, the Bible says the only way we can love Him is because He first loved us. He loved us. And you know, in the Ten Commandments, we're commanded to love the Lord, but those commands, like any other command, are impossible to implement. You cannot, by command, love somebody. You cannot love a man or a woman, anybody, just because somebody tells you you got to love them. And my dear friend, same thing's true of us loving God. We cannot love the Lord except the Holy Ghost of God do a work in our heart and life. And we are saved by the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ comes in and He sheds abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, in the last days, not only will the love of many wax cold, but it said that of that church, He said, you have left your first love. I mean, that love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if we could fall fresh in love with Jesus this morning, if God would let us know what He's done for us, you say, Brother Billy, what? You know, Peter, the Lord talked to Peter on three different occasions. He asked him this question, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Boy, as I thought about that and pondered that this week, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come in front of you and ask you honestly, sincerely, do you love me? Do you love me? Now, I can pull the wool over your eyes. I can pull the wool over Regina's eyes sometime. But we can't pull the wool over the Lord's eyes. And if He said, do you love me? Do you really love me? Boy, listen, it brings us to a place of stark reality. Do you really love Him? Do you really love Him? I want to say to you this morning, I love Him, but I don't think I love Him as much as I ought to. I know I don't love Him as much as I really want to, but I do love the Lord. Why is it? When we did that thing some time ago, I had us to write down, I love the Lord because, and then many people, what the Bible said, we love the Lord because He first loved us. But what about, why do you love the Lord? Why should I love the Lord this morning? I love Him, first of all, because of what He's done in the past. I love Him because of what He did in the past. The Bible said this in the Word of God. It said, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. The Lord loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sin. Boy, I'm glad that He loved me when I was bound in my sin. Brother Leroy Jones will tell you right quick, he was a cowboy. He lived a wicked life. He was a drunk. And he said, I can identify with drunks because I was an alcoholic. And he said, but yet God loved me. He loved me when I was dead in trespasses and sin. And God loved you when you were dead in trespasses and sin. Not one thing about you to love. Not one thing in you motivated His love toward us, because the Bible said we were dead in trespasses and sin. But beyond that, the book of Romans chapter 5, it also tells us this. In chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us this, that there was no righteousness in us. Some people say, well, you know, there's a little bit of good in everybody. No. He loved me when I had no righteousness whatsoever. He loved you when you had no righteousness whatsoever. People will look at you and they'll see, he's a good person, good person. But God saw the heart. And He saw that I was dead in trespasses and sin, and He loved me anyway. He saw I had no righteousness, but He loved me anyway. He loved me just like that. And He loved you the same way. Man, when you get to thinking about when you didn't care a thing in the world about Him, There's none that seeketh after God. When I wasn't seeking after God, and I didn't care a thing about God, and I had no righteousness, and I was dead in trespasses and sin, He loved me, and He loved you, and He loves you today. My dear friend, I'm thankful because of what He did. How did He love me? And listen, I'm thankful not only because He loved me, but because He saves sinners. I'm glad He loves sinners, but I'm glad He doesn't have pity on us. I'm glad He doesn't look at us and say, that's a sad person there, and it's a person there that's bound in sin, and I feel so sorry for him. But I'm glad that He can save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. I'm glad He not only loved me, and I love Him because He loved me, but I'm glad He saved me, amen. I'm glad He can save the religious people like Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to the Lord by night, and I shared with the truckers out there in one of the services about John 3:16, the greatest verse. Most everybody in this building can quote it. Everybody in the internet radio audience could quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said that to one man in the middle of the night. And it's the greatest verse in all the Bible. But He ministered it to one man, Nicodemus, a religious man. I mean, he was bound up in religion. And people across this world are bound up in religion, but they're not saved. They don't know the Lord. And my dear friend, I'm glad that He loved Nicodemus, and He can save a religious person, a person who thinks they're saved, a person who's going through religious acts, a person who believes in a catechism or some religious duty that's going to take them to heaven, or church membership or baptism. But I'm glad that He saves religious people. I'm glad for that. I'm glad He saves immoral people. This is a wicked world. Boy, God's going to work my heart about loving people. Loving people. I get so mad. I hate to tell you all that. I got where I just hardly ever watch the news anymore because of people. And you know, you get thinking about this one's got this problem and all these other problems. But you know what? You know how many gospels we got? One. Just one gospel. There's one gospel. One gospel. One gospel for the wicked. One gospel for the homosexual, one gospel for the Muslim. There's only one gospel, and it's the gospel that Jesus Christ loved sinners and died for them. Hard for me to comprehend that, but I'm glad He loved sinners. My dear friend, if God's in me, then I need to love people. I need to love people, and I need to love the souls of men. And listen, I love Him because He loved me first. He loved me when I was a sinner. Loved me when I was dead in trespass sin. Loved me when I had no righteousness whatsoever. Loved me when I didn't even want Him. He loved me, and He saved. And thank God He saved religious people like Nicodemus. He saved the immoral people like the woman at the well. Nobody would have anything to do with her. Been married 5 times, lived with somebody at that time. But Jesus didn't go up to her and go through all that with her. He said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you answered right. Listen, God the Holy Ghost knows all about our sin, but He loves us anyway. My dear friend, Jesus loved me, and He not only loves me, but He saved. He saved the religious person. He saved that immoral person. I tell you, old Peter was a hard, hard cusser. I mean, he was a fisherman and just hard-hearted, but God saved him. God changed him. And I've met truckers, and I've had folk in this church and around other places that were wicked men, hard men and women, and God broke their heart and saved them. I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel, for it's the power of God and salvation. I'm telling you right now, God, there's not a person that God could not save. He's never gone so far, she's never gone so far, never got so hard into sin that God cannot save them. And listen, in these days, you got to believe the Word of God. Believe that God is able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. And the only remedy for your children, my children, and anybody in this community is the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we share that in power of the Holy Ghost of God, God can save the old hard sinner. He can save that religious person. He can save that immoral person. He can save all of those people like that. Paul said this in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I am chiefest of sinners. Chiefest of sinners. My dear friend, listen. He said, in me I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, I'm chiefest of sinners. And yet God saved him. He'd been schooled in the school of the Pharisees. He hated those of the way, those who named Christ, and he put them to death, and yet God saved him. Boy, do you thank God for that. Thank God that he's able to save to the innermost. I love him because he loved me when I was dead in sin. I love him because when I had no righteousness, he loved me. When I was not seeking him, he sought me. I love him because he can save, but I love him because he saved me. Forgave all of my sin. My dear friend, listen, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. You've been saved by the grace of God. And he loved you. For God so loved the world. He loved sinners. My dear friend, listen, I love him because he first loved me. Brother Roy Rigdon and I were talking over the we talk every day, but we were talking the other day. He sent me something, and you may know it well and more than I did, but he sent it to me. I want to read this to you. Think about God loving you, how God loved you. In 1860, Anna B. Warren wrote a little poem, wrote a verse. And later, a man by the name of David Rutherford McGuire added a stanza and two other verses to it. Anna's sister, Susan, had asked her to write a little song, a little chorus for Sunday school because she had a little boy in her Sunday school class that was dying, and she wanted to write a song to that boy who was dying so she could encourage him and help him. Now, this poem that became a song was first published in a little novel called Say and Seal in 1862. William Bradbury composed the music and added refrain. Oh, what kind of song could you write for a little boy in Sunday school who was dying? What could you say to him that would help him? Here's what she wrote, and here's what all these other people contributed to. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin and let his little one come in. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for me. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill, that I might from sin be free. He bled and died upon the tree. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, John 3:16 was written and given to one person. And the song that you've been singing since you were a little kid was written especially for one little boy in a Sunday school class that was dying. Oh, is there anything in the world that if you're coming to that end of the journey that you would want to know more than anything in the world is that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He died for me. Heaven's gate to open wide. And thank God for that. I love him this morning because he loved me and died for me. I love him when you think about that verse, for God so loved the world. God, I've quoted that verse over and over again, and God has broke so many little truths on me. Even this week, God spoke to my heart and showed me something else a little different. For God so loved the world. That word so is a word of emphasizing degree, like level, like a thermometer goes up low, low. God so loved the world. God so loved. It is the degree of his love. He loved us limitlessly. I mean, there's no end to it. He so loved. That love covers all of our sin, all of our past, all of our future. God so loved the world. But that little word so not only indicates degree, that is the level, height. He so loved us, but it also involves a direction of the will. And it's kind of like this. So something happens, so we do this. Something happened, so we do. It is an act of the will. And my dear friend, listen, He willed to love us. He so loved us with an infinite love, more than we could ever imagine, but He chose to do that. It was not a response to anything in us. He just chose to love us. He, in the Old Testament, He said, I set my love upon you. My dear friend, you understand what I'm saying to you? I don't feel worthy of His love. You don't feel worthy of His love. But my dear friend, it had nothing to do with me or you, with our goodness or our potential or anything. He chose to love us, and He so loved us that nothing can ever change it. Did you understand that? Romans chapter 8 said, what can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Bottom line, nothing. Nothing. Because nothing caused it. Nothing can't stop it. He loved us with an everlasting love. My dear friend, listen, I love Him because of that. If you could ever get a hold of that, it'd do so much for you. People go around and they feel defeated and discouraged and everything else, and they have problems in their family. But I want you to know, my dear friend, sitting right here in this auditorium and in the radio audience, internet audience, that God loves you. And can I tell you this? He loves every one of us the same. He's an infinite God. He loves us infinitely. And He set His love on us. And He loves us with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate us from that. And that direction of His will, it finds joy in that action. And boy, that got a hold of my heart when I read that. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. It means degree. He so loved us so high, so infinitely. It is an act of His will. It's a directive act of His will. So loved us. He loved us. It's an act of His will. But it is to find joy in that action. You understand what I'm saying? He loves us. He loves us. And the joy that He experiences in loving us is not conditioned on our response to Him. He finds joy in loving us. Have you ever done anything and done something for somebody who didn't deserve it or somebody who did deserve it, and it gave you a good feeling on the inside? I mean, it just feels good to do something for somebody. My dear friend, did you know that the great joy of the Lord is to love us, and it brings to Him infinite joy to love us? He doesn't pity us. The Bible said He looks on us and He pities us as a father forgives us. But I'm saying this matter of His love, that He set His love on us by His own will. He set His love on us infinitely, so loved the world. And in doing so, it brings Him great joy to love us. I mean, He's blessed to do that. It is a blessing. It brings joy to the heart of the Lord to love us. Oh, I've got to go on. But I love Him because of what He's done in the past. He loved me and He saved me and forgave all of my sin. But I love Him because of what He's doing now too. I'll do this quickly. And we love Him because of what He's doing for us. In the first place, the Bible said, these things write unto you, 1 John chapter 2, these things write unto you, sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You think about that. You've got an advocate. That's somebody that's on your side. Somebody that stands in your place. Somebody that stands for you. And somebody that's on your side. Oh, listen, He's a holy, righteous God, but Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. He stands there as our advocate. I thought about that dear lady there in Kentucky in the jail. They put her right straight in jail. You can burn down Ferguson, do anything you want to, and you can get by with it. But if you don't marry gays or you don't issue a license, that you go to jail just like that in America. I feel she's got more guts than all the Republican candidates in the nation. And I told Regina last night, I said, I wonder what we can do. Well, I've been praying. We all been praying for her, And, you know, she has a legal counsel. I don't know what good it's going to do her because of the court system. But can I tell you right now, there's a holy God who's inflexible. He knows every thought, every action. He knows all about me. And listen, he could incinerate me. I mean, he could have last week and the week before that, and you too. But you know why he didn't? Because there's somebody standing between me and him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Father, like he used to say when he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. Now listen, Jesus Christ is standing there. I love it. I'm thankful. You know why I'm saved? Because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know why I'm staying saved? Because he's my advocate. He's standing there. He set his love on me. He hadn't changed. I love him because of forgiveness. He said, we confess our sins. Faith just forgive us. That is to cleanse us. Fellowship. You need to come on Wednesday night. I talked about the labor just briefly Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, we'll go into some detail about it. But those priests had to wash their hands, wash their feet. They didn't have to be bathed all over. They were already bathed. And you don't get saved all over again, but you do have to have your hands washed, your feet washed sometime because of out of fellowship with him. But I'm glad he'll forgive me. I'm glad he'll cleanse me. I'm glad he'll restore me to fellowship with him. I'm glad not only that, but he makes intercession for me. He ever liveth to make intercession. My dear friend, that intercession is in regard to my needs. He's there, whatever I need, God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Right now, he's praying for you. Brother Danny's praying for you. He knows you need. He knows all about it. And he's making that intercession. Oh, I listen, I'm glad for what he's doing for me now. I'm glad that right now he can comfort me in all of my troubles. I'm glad right now that God is taking care of me and he meets every need. He answers prayer. And I'm glad he's going to prepare a place. I love him because of what he's done in the past, but I love him what he's doing now. But can I tell you, I love what he's going to do in the future. Thank God. Listen, the darker the day, the brighter this light. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Can I tell you, my friend, I love him because he's coming back for me. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad. And Keith and Kathy are here this morning. They were members up there with me at the church where I pastored up in Reedsville. And they were just little bitty kids. Lord have mercy. And they've grown up now and married and got kids and everything. But thank God for that. But I remember Earl Jackson's old mama, Ms. Jackson's in a nursing home. And I'd been working all week long on a sermon about the Lord coming back. I had 14 reasons why I believe Jesus is coming back. And I went by the nursing home to visit Ms. Jackson that day. And when we'd go by and the church go by sometime and sing, she'd raise her little bony arms and just praise God. She loved the Lord. And I went by and talked with a few minutes, and I said, Ms. Jackson, I wish you could be at church in the morning. I'm going to preach on 14 reasons why the Lord's coming back. She said, I know he's coming back. I said, really? I said, how come you know that? She said, because he said he was. I thought, boy, isn't that a blessing? I went home. I marked off 13 of mine, and I just said, he's coming back because he said he was. Oh, I love him because he said he's coming back, and he's coming back. Oh, I made promise I couldn't keep. Other people made promise they couldn't keep. But he's never made one yet he couldn't keep. He's coming back, my dear friend. It might be today. Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. My dear friend, Jesus is coming back. And I love him because he made a promise he'll come and take us out of here. He's not appointed us to wrath. Oh, there's great, awful days coming. We went over and saw Old Faithful. If you've ever been in Yellowstone Park and not that thing sitting on a volcano under that great lake up there, that Yellowstone Lake, it's huge. You can sit Lake Jordan, Lake Harris inside that lake, still have plenty of room. But underneath that is a huge volcano. They said it's not if, but when it erupts, they'll be able to hear it in New York. It'll wipe Wyoming off the map. Most of Montana, most of that whole area, neighboring states. When it comes, because under that, just a great, huge mass of boiling heat and molten rock, and that's what causes all those geysers to come up. It's there, and they believe it's going to happen. And I'm telling you this, during the days of Noah, God opened the fountains of the deep, opened the windows of heaven, and it rained down rain. And he'll never, ever again destroy the world with water. But it is coming one of these days when he'll melt it with a fervent heat. And I was listening to that guy talk, you know, billions and billions and billions of years ago. He talks about all that stuff. But he said the inside of that's over 700 degrees. And he said it just melts rock. Melts rock. It's all liquefied down there, just liquid rock, molten. And when it comes out, cools, it makes lava, of course. My dear friend, listen, there's coming a day that he'll unleash not the fountains of the deep, but the fire of the deep. In that great tribulation period, my dear friend, and the earth will melt with a fervent heat. Hey, that's coming. But you know what? I am sure glad that he loved me and he saved me and I'm not appointed to wrath. I'm glad he's going to transform me. I was telling some of them this morning, I picked at Farrell Osborne so long about going to heaven one piece at a time, and I get to thinking sometime I'm fixing to do the same thing. And one piece at a time, a little cut here, a little cut there, and everything. Yeah. But you know what? There's coming a day. I'm thankful not only is he coming back for me, but he's going to transform me. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen. God's going to make us, we might all look like Don Harrell. That's what Don said. He said, how do y'all know this is not the perfect body? I don't know, but the Bible said we'll see him, we'll know him, because when we see him, we'll be like him. I'm pretty sure we're going to be like the Lord, not like Don Harrell. But you know, God is going to transform every one of us. Oh, you think about it. You think about it. Miss Pansy, when the Lord comes, it might be today. And Pete, no more pain. Brother Donnie, no more cancer. Brand new. Thank God. Brand new. God's going to do that. He's going to transform us, give us a body like his glorious body. I love for what he's going to do because he's going to come back for me, because he's going to transform me, because he'll reunite me with my loved ones that's already over there. I wrote that little note to Margaret this morning, and I said, in the last 2-3 years, so many of my very, very close friends have gone to be home with the Lord. And all of so many close friends here, you've got them, family members, loved ones, husbands, wives, gone home. But you know, I love him because he's got a plan. Not only will I get to see him, but I'll get to see them. In fact, in the rapture, the Bible said, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And then we'll meet the Lord in the air. I read over that 100 times. I always felt kind of backslid because everybody said, oh, I can't hardly wait to get to heaven just to see Jesus. All I want to see is Jesus. I want to see my little girl. I felt bad about that for a while. But then I read the Bible. Reading the Bible will help you. Here's what the Lord's going to do, Donnie. When we get caught out of here, we're going to meet our loved ones in the clouds. He's going to let us meet them before we ever meet him. Isn't that something? And that would be forever with the Lord. He's going to reunite us with our loved ones. I love him because of that. That's a promise he's made to me. I love him because he's going to take us to our eternal home. I know Brother Barry had been talking in Sunday school class some time ago about him preparing a place in my Father's house of many mansions. He's going to prepare a place for it. I don't understand all of that means. But I know one thing, there are mansions there, and he's got a place reserved for us. Got a place reserved for us. I don't know what it is and how it looks, where it's at, this, that, and the other. I don't know about all that, but I know one thing. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I'm glad. In Revelation 21, Brother Bobby Carden said, my favorite passage of Scripture is the no mores in Revelation. No more crying, no more tears, no more pain, all those things, no more. Hey, we're going to go live in the land of no more, no more. Oh, listen, we're going to land where they don't have all those things anymore. And what a blessed thing. What a blessed thing. Hey, Brother Roy not only sent me that old song, he sent me this song too, and the verses that I was not familiar with all of them. And here's what it said. There's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. It tells me of a Father's smile beaming upon his child. It cheers me through this little while, through desert, waste, and wild. It tells me of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. It bids my trembling heart rejoice. It dries each rising tear. It tells me in a still small voice to trust and never fear. Jesus, the name I love so well, the name I love to hear. No saint on earth its worth can tell, nor heart conceive how dear. This name shall shed its fragrant steel along this thorny road, shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. And there with all the blood-bought throng, from sin and sorrow free, I'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love for me. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad, my dear friend, that He loved us with an everlasting love? And when we get to glory, you know what we're going to sing about? We're going to sing about Him and rejoice in the fact that He loved us. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, what a blessed thing to know He loves you. I'm telling you right now, the Bible said the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And folk need to repent. My dear friend, He loved you so much He died for you. Loved you so much He wanted to give you everlasting life. He's done so much for us. There's not one thing that He could ask us to do that we ought not to respond instantly to it. I'm sure glad He loved me. Sure glad He loves you. While we have our heads bowed here in the building this morning, I wonder, is there a man or woman, a boy or girl who'd say to me, Brother Billy, I've never responded to that love of Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But I want you to pray for me. I want to be saved before it's too late. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But I want you to pray for me. I want to do that. You're here this morning, you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Will you please pray for me? I'm looking, nobody else is looking, but would you raise your hand right up and right about now and say, Preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I want you to pray for me. Anybody in this building this morning like that? Anybody in here not saved? Don't know if you died now, you'd go to heaven. Oh, what a tragic thing to shun the love of God, not to experience His forgiveness and know heaven is your home. Anybody like that this morning? I wonder how many of you this morning say, Brother Billy, the Bible said that in the last days the love of many will wax cold. And in Revelation it said that there were some who left the first love. And Brother Billy, I don't want to be that way. I want to love Him fervently until the end of time. You may be like me. I know sometimes I feel like I'm not as close to Him ought to be. But you say, Brother Billy, I want God to shed His love abroad in my heart. I want to love Him with all of my heart. Whatever might be hindering me, I want you to pray that God will fill me afresh with my love for Him. And I want to worship and serve Him. Would you raise your hand? Oh, thank God all over the building. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Brother Brad's going to sing a song. I want to pray first. I tell you, I've bowed. On Regina's trip, we prayed every day, every morning, every afternoon, every night. We prayed. I bowed and prayed, well, God, help me love You more. Help me love Your people more. Help me love souls more. Help me have a compassionate heart. Lord, I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to be bitter. People who are bound in sin, the dead in trespass of sin, they act like that because they're sinners. God, I pray You'd help me to love them like You love. He loved me when I was dead and trespassing sin. Loved me when I had absolutely no righteousness. And I confessed to Him, Lord, I'm not like that. I see people, Lord, that's lost. And they, I don't like what they do and what they say. And God, I don't love them like You love them. I want to love them. God, I want to have the anointing of God on me in such a way they can know I love them, whether they ever receive the gospel or not. I want you to pray that God help my life. Let's pray God will meet with all of us this morning. Again, nobody raised their hand and said they were lost this morning, but you've never known it until you know the love of God, until you never experienced. If you're experienced, boy, to do something to you, I hope you get saved this morning. If I can help you pray with you, I'll do it. If you're here this morning You're going through dark days, I want you to know He loves you. He is the God of all comfort. He loves you. Just because you're going through a hard time doesn't mean He doesn't love you. He loves you. We'll all pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that You loved us. Lord, tongue can't tell. No way I can explain it. But God, I'm thankful that You loved us in the past for all that You did. Thank You that You love us now for all You're doing. We love You. And for what You're going to do in the future, we love You. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, to speak to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. God, I pray, God, I know this, Lord, there's no limit to a church, to a people, to an individual who sell out to God and love You with all their heart, mind, and soul. Our Father, that's the key. That's the answer to the whole issue, is that God's people would love You afresh and anew. Our Father, I pray, God, You'd do that for us now. Thank You for the love of people who I know love You, and they love me and love my wife, love this church. God, I pray You'd help us to grow in love day by day.